Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Today marks my 17th year to celebrate Mother's Day. This is a holiday I have to admit I have not always been very eager to celebrate, and you'll hear some of that in my testimony. My name is Tiffany Davis, and I'm sharing my testimony with you. What is a testimony? In short, it is the story of how God has changed one's life, first in what he has done and what he is currently doing, and what he will do to carry it on to completion. So what has God done? He saved me. Praise him for that. As a 7-year-old girl in a Baptist revival service at Victory Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, he convicted me strongly. That night, the speaker brought a familiar message of hellfire and brimstone, the likes of which I never wanted to experience. Although I had heard similar messages many times, and sat through many altar calls unchanged, that night was different. That night is when God called my heart to follow him, and that is what I set out to do. However, not much changed in my life. Frankly, there was trouble at home, trouble growing up in a blended family. To back up, my parents had divorced when I was 4. One day, my mom just didn't come home, and I never understood why. My father had full custody of my sister and I had a broken heart, even as a 4-year-old. Then my father remarried when I was 6. My stepmother had 2 children from a previous marriage, and then 2 more came later. So I grew up in a blended home. It was sometimes fun, but not always easy. My childhood was marked by pain that involved loss and some abuse. While I will not dwell on that now, I will say that I believe God is sovereign even over this painful time. Psalm 56:8 has brought comfort to me many times. It is an intimate imagery that God is near in our hurt. David writes, "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not all in your book?" So growing up, my father was a Walmart manager. He was great at his job, so the company moved us every 2 years, pretty much. Sometimes it was 1.5. That meant lots of new schools and new churches. Our last move as a minor was right before my senior year. This marked my first real growth period as a Christian. We attended a church where my brother and I were the only youth members. So my brother and I were 6 months apart. So we were always in the same grade, every time we moved, same classes, everything. We were the youth group all of a sudden. An older, faithful man named Tom decided he would be our Sunday school teacher. He was a gentleman who asked me what had I been studying in my Bible. What? I laughed inside. Study my Bible? I didn't have time for that. I was a senior. I was making big plans for my life. I lived in a chaotic, large family who was constantly moving. I'm sure I lied to him to save face. I was always trying to please people and make myself look good. Note the sins of self-righteousness and pride. But Tom told me I was going to start a character study. So each week he assigned me a person from the Bible, and the following week I was to report back to him. I won't give all the details, but what this did was drove me into God's word and gave me a hunger and thirst for more. I forever thank God for Tom. Then I went off to college where my growth continued. It was at college where I met my best friend and now husband. That's a really cool story, but we don't have time for that today. Philip and I started dating after I graduated, and I'm a little bit older, so he was still finishing up school. And in 2003, we wed and moved to Ava, Missouri, where we would have all 3 of our children, as well as 2 that God knit together but did not bring forth. We lived there 8 years. While living there, we faithfully attended a Southern Baptist church. This phase in my life is marked by growing into a bitter woman. You see, I became busy. Busy in the church, a great place to be busy, right? But I was busy doing too much and all for the glory of Tiffany, all the while being bitter at everybody who wasn't doing enough. I just want to say, while I was busy, I was neglecting growth that I needed, mainly my Bible. I became an unhappy woman, and it affected everyone, especially my husband and children, who I did not treat well. Philip finished up his master's degree, and then he wanted to move up the career ladder, so we moved to Emporia, Kansas. I thought this move might be the ticket to my happiness. I was, after all, tired. I was ready for a church with more life. I was looking for grass greener. Philip would be making more money. The kids were getting older. This sounded like paradise. But more of the same. Once we moved, I found myself completely engrossed in the busyness of volunteering at the kids' elementary school. I did everything, and everybody knew it. Well, just ask Tiffany. She'll say yes. And I did. I even started a Daisy program for the Girl Scouts because everybody wanted one, but nobody wanted to be in charge. So sure, I'll do it, all the while neglecting my duties at home. This is the beginning of my next growth period. This is where I learned to stop doing too much outside of my home, learned to love women of the faith, to be an obedient mother and wife, and learned how to study my Bible for the first time. But not without some painful lessons in foolishness first. We landed at a Bible church where I did not want to be. I started by attending the weekly ladies' Bible study, which my sister-in-law invited me to. I hated this Bible study. I resented going, but I went. Why? To save face, because I was all about looking good. There were some guidelines for the study time because it was a rather large group. Things like, do your homework. If you don't do your homework, don't run your mouth the whole time like you know what you're talking about. I mean, it was much nicerly put on the paper than that. Refrain from speaking ill of your husband and children. This was not going to be tolerated, we were told. And I thought, this is just funny. This is what women do. Start and stop study on time, as it's respectful to the leader and the people watching all the kids. Well, I just didn't like being told what to do. And I was very prideful. So I chose to not do my homework, to come to class, and to still answer every question. I needed everyone to know how smart I was, and I wasn't about to let someone tell me I couldn't talk. I thought I was cool and funny. What happened was that I made a fool of myself. I was wrong many times. I took things out of context. I didn't know about studying my Bible, and then I would argue that I wasn't wrong. Basically, Proverbs 10:23 says, "The fool delights in shameful conduct, but a man of understanding has wisdom." I was delighting in my shameful conduct. 4 months later, Philip told me we were going to join membership at this church. Yay! 2 months after that, I had a time of wrestling with God, so to speak. It was another Monday night. It was the night before Bible study. It was the night that I usually decided to either crash do all of my homework for the entire week or to just show up and let it all fly. That night, it was like God was putting in my heart to quit, not quit the study, but to quit pretending, quit sinning, quit my foolish ways, quit shaming him, just quit. It was the first time I saw my leader, which was the pastor's wife, as a woman who is faithfully guiding a group of women in study of God's precious word instead of a competitor. It was the first time I devoured my homework and then spoke not a single word at study the next day. There are so many more things I could tell you, but I've been limited to 10 minutes about this portion of my life. Well, let's just say God used this time and that ladies' Bible study to truly change my heart. I was a believer, yes, but I was very sinful. So God grew me as a mother. As a wife, I learned that I not only had to submit to my husband, but that it was a joy to submit to my husband. I believe all of my family would testify that I am not a perfect mama or wife, but that God has worked a great deal in my life and is still working. Life was going very well, and it was a beautiful time of growth, not only in myself, but as I watched my husband grow, as men invested in his spiritual growth as well. And then Philip lost his job. He actually resigned, but it was not his choice. This was a very difficult time, as I had always found security in his job. After all, he was an intelligent, hard-working man who provided so well for us. The events that brought him to resignation were not fair or just, but they were God's plan. God brought the two of us closer during this time. It was a time to truly show our children how to walk through a trial, and we attempted to do it in a God-honoring way. But all the while, I begged God never to move us away from our dear church family, as I was certain there was never going to be any church anywhere else that could ever measure up. Right? I was focused on the wrong thing. I mean, God did keep us in Emporia, and I thank him for that because his timing is perfect. He gave Philip a new job, but a year and a half later, we learned that the company he was working for was selling and would be no longer needing upper management. James 1:2-4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds or fall into trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I'm here to tell you that even though we didn't want to move our kids away from the connections they had at our church, nor did we want to leave our friends, this time it was different for me and Philip. This time was familiar, this trial. This time we prayed with open hands, not our will, but yours be done. We truly saw this time as wanting to be that man who was blessed to remain steadfast under trial. And so God brought us here to Pueblo. Right away we saw him working. He provided the news of this Bible-believing church as well as others in the area that we set out to visit. And my one question was, do they have a ladies' Bible study? I have to be a part. I actually chuckled the very first ladies' Bible study I went to, just to myself, like, oh, so thankful God has brought me from that rebellious girl that I was. I just want to say today that I praise God for all the ways he has saved me and is keeping me. You know, your testimony isn't just about what precise moment did God call your heart out of the muck and mire. No, it is how he is continuing to work and sanctify you until the day that he calls you home. Psalm 121:5-8 has been one of my favorite psalms. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Note the key word, keep. I'm not doing the keeping. The Lord is. So what now? I wait for the day of the Lord. He who began the good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. So I wait, and while I wait until that day, I don't just twiddle my thumbs. I stay busy. I strive to serve him, know him, and bring others to him. I pray that this testimony of God's faithfulness has touched your heart today.